I always get excited. Thank you. I always get excited when we are able to just celebrate what God is doing in people's lives. And baptism obviously always excites me because here's what happens in baptism. We get to take a moment in the church to see people take a step of faith. And what happens in that moment is as they're taking the step of faith, we're able to hear their God story. And here's what I love about their God story, which I'm sure you enjoy as well, being able to hear who they were before Christ and then what Christ has done in their life. And I love the authenticity and I love the transparency of it. I love hearing how, and we hear this all the time in our church, here's where I was, I met Christ, and here's where I am. And it's incredible because at some point, everyone who got baptized and is sharing their story is taking a step of faith to where they are saying, hey, you can share this part about me because it's not who I am anymore. It doesn't define me. My greatest failure doesn't define me anymore. And here's what's really cool about that is what they're doing is they're saying before all of you, by the way, hey, I used to be this and I'm going to put it out there because I'm no longer this and I'm trusting God with this part of my life and I experience God and he has changed everything about me. Here's what I've recognized life is kind of like and life is. The Bible tells us that all of our days are numbered, which means that our life is kind of like two bookends. There's the beginning and then there's the end, right? So if this, it's like a book, there's the very beginning of the book, there's the very end, and in between is just a bunch of pages and a bunch of chapters of stuff. And what they have done when they get baptized, they're saying this, like, hey, this half of my life, man, I am not proud of. But God has used it and is using it to point me to him. And they're trusting God with it. And then here's what they're saying now in this next chapter. Man, I can't wait to see what God's gonna write. But it takes trust. With the graduates today, they have no clue. No clue what's next for them. They don't have a clue about the challenges, about the new temptations. They don't have a clue. But it takes trust. If I were to ask you a question, I wonder what their response would be. If I were to ask you, what is the one thing in your life that you are struggling with to trust God with? What is that one thing where you're saying, God, I am struggling to trust you with? What would you put in that blank? If you're sitting here today and you're thinking, there's something in my life that is consuming me, I'm thinking about it all the time, and God, if I'm being honest, I am struggling to trust you with this. See, here's what's true, is that often in our lives, if you've ever in your life have messed up or have done anything that you're not proud of, here's what we can do. Let's just be honest. We wish we can go back and just rip it out of that part of our lives, right? Like, I wish I can go back to high school. You know what I did in high school? I'm not going to tell you because you'll judge me, but I do wish. I'm serious. I think about some things I did in high school, and I was like, I didn't know Christ, and I was just a knucklehead, and I was an idiot. Why didn't somebody tell me? But I wish, I look back, I'm like, I wish I could just take that piece out and nobody would ever know about it. Like the other day, my son started asking me questions like, Dad, did you ever do this in high school? He's like, did you ever drink? I was like, what? And he looked at me like, did you ever smoke? I was like, what? Your mother did, and I saved her. Son, talk to her. But right, like they begin to ask you questions that gets in your stuff. I'm like, it's none of your business. You're 13. Mind your own business. And then you get to college. And in college, I was a new Christian, and I knew what it was to fall when I didn't know Christ. I didn't know what it meant to fall after I knew Christ. So I'm being honest. I wish I could look back in college days and be like, I wish this was not part of my story, and I can just. And you know why I do this? And life goes on, and we make mistakes, and we're like, gosh, this right here was a painful season of my life that I wish never happened, and I'm not sure why God allowed it. There was a lot of broken relationships. Man, there's a lot of pain there. Why did that happen, God? Why? Why did it happen? And I wish I could just take it out of my story. But here's what's really neat about God. It's like he took all of this into account. Every single page of my brokenness, every single page of my sin, every single page of my rebellion, every single page of my victories, every single page of the blessings, every single page of the pain. Like, what we have to understand is that we can't only trust God with the mountaintop moments of our lives. You can't only trust him with the chapters that we're so proud of and we want everybody to read and know about, and we hang those on our wall. But the chapters we don't trust him with, we just want to throw those out and get rid of them. But the truth is, like, look, even those, you can leave them there and you can trust God with them. You can say, God, it's so hard, but I trust you with it all. And so here is the most challenging part for you and for me. The most challenging part for us is to truly trust God. Listen, I know in the Christian world, when you walk through stuff, you hear people just like, hey, just trust God. And your life is like crumbling, and you can't see God, and you can't feel God, and it's like you're just depressed, and you're angry, and then you're frustrated, and you get someone with a smile who's probably never walked through anything, like, just trust God. And you're like, just shut up. Like, you know it's the right thing, but you're not really feeling that way, right? It's like, God, how in the world are we supposed to just trust God when nothing really makes sense? And how in the world, God, do we get through this season of our lives when we're barely making it, just like page by page? God, we can barely turn the page for the next day because we're so exhausted with what was written today. And you're telling us to make the most, to live faithful, to trust you. But how do you make the most out of this season? When this season is taking the most out of you, how do you do it? How do you make the most out of this season when this season is taking the most out of you? Proverbs gives us an idea of how to do that. The book of Proverbs is written by Solomon, which is a great book because it's just filled with godly wisdom, not human wisdom, godly wisdom that actually changes things. This wisdom that God imparted on Solomon, that he has imparted on all of us, for us to hear the heart and word of God. And I want to get this picture in your mind. Solomon is writing this in chapter 3, and I want you to get this picture as if a father is speaking to his son, and it's like Solomon is writing this so that his son can take this information and he can live by it. My son turned 13 recently, and I recognize that he's 13. I probably have about 4 or 5 more years with him before he gets out of the house, or I kick him out of the house. But either way, he's gonna be out of the house in 4 or 5 years. So here's what I told my wife, like, I need to be sure that I am pouring everything that I have and that I know about who God is into his life. Because I need to be sure that when my son is out of the house, and this goes for all my kids, but he's 13, so it's a little more urgent there, that I have taught him how to treat a woman. Have I taught my son how to speak to a woman? Have I taught my son how to look at a woman? Have I taught my son how to date a woman? Have I taught my son these things yet? Have I taught my son what it means to be a man of God? Have I taught my son what it means to follow God at all costs? Have I taught my son how to read the Word of God, but not only read it, how to apply the Word of God? Have I taught my son how to trust God when God doesn't make any sense? I got a handful of years before I can pour everything into him so I can make him into the image of God. How can I help you become the image of who God's called you to be? I don't have long to do it. And so it's urgent. And it's like, I tell him every once in a while, and I don't want to scare him. I didn't read this from a book. I made it up, and it probably wasn't the best thing to do. But every once in a while, I'm like, hey, son, you know I'm going to die one day, right? He's like, oh, what? I'm going to die one day. And you got to start figuring out how to be a man. And we got to figure out what this looks like so that, son, when you go out on your own, when you're launched out there, you know how to do these things. And so it's this father's son, but the father has this sense of urgency of like, this is really important because I won't be here one day. Solomon is taking the same approach in Proverbs 3. He's speaking to his son, and here's what he tells his son. It's like this urgent matter. It's this urgent, like, I got to tell you something that's really important and that's going to completely change your life. And here's what he says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. Picture the father-son sitting down, having this heart moment, and he says to his son, the first thing he tells his son, and by the way, in the Hebrew, what he's about to do, this is called a couplet. The first 10 verses are called couplets because each verse is coupled with another verse. It's basically a cause and effect verse. It's if you do this, then this is guaranteed to happen. It's a guaranteed return on your obedience. That's what's incredible about the Bible, is he is telling us specifically there can be a guaranteed return on your obedience to God. So here's what he tells his son, couplet number one. He says, my son, do not forget my teaching. Solomon is not talking about his specific teaching, his wisdom. This word teaching in the Hebrew is Torah. He is talking about, my son, don't forget that I have taught you the word of God. Don't forget to hold on to the word of God. The most important thing I can tell you is do not forget my teaching. But let your heart keep my commandments. So I want you to see something in this one verse. In verse 1, there is this teaching and there is this receiving. See, here's the thing. Today, I can teach you, but it doesn't mean you will receive it. So the word of God, when you read it on your own, the Spirit is teaching you. But then you have to receive it. Because you can reject it if you don't agree with it, but you have to receive it into your life. You have to receive it into your heart. When the Bible speaks of the heart, it's not talking about an organ. When the Bible speaks of the heart, it's talking about your will, your emotions, your thought, your intellect. It is the things that help you process life. So what he is saying is, my son, hang on to God's teachings, but let your heart keep my commandments. And everything you do, apply God's word in your life. What's the result of that? What's the result of a person today, and even in scripture, who hears God's word and applies God's word? What's the result of that? You ready? Guaranteed result for this. Verse 2, for the length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. So here's what he's saying. If you want to live a fruitful life, if you want to live a life of peace, obey the word of God. It's crazy. It seems really easy, but how difficult is it really? Let's be honest. How unbelievably difficult is it to obey the word of God? It's very difficult. This is why he's saying, if you do it, you will find peace. In verse 3, he says this, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then he says this, if you do this, if the word of God is something that is close to you every day, that you have written the word of God in your heart so that you may not sin against him. Verse 4 says this, if you do this, here's the result. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Here's what's cool. Most people want favor and success to build their own kingdom. In this scripture, he is telling you, when you cling on to God, you will find favor and success in the sight of God and man. Why? To build God's kingdom. That God will use you to have favor before man and God to accomplish his will and purpose. There's where he's saying you will find peace. So I want you to picture Solomon telling his son, this world is going to be very hard. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to fail. You're going to be tempted. You're going to be betrayed. You're going to be lonely. You're going to have a marriage that's not going to be perfect all the time. You're going to date people that you shouldn't have dated. You're going to do things that you shouldn't have done. You're going to question God about your future. You're going to question God about provision. You're going to question God about your career. Son, this is what's going to happen in life. And can you imagine? He's like, well, thanks, Dad. Can I go back and play Fortnite? You know, I don't know if they had that in the Old Testament, but he would have if he was a kid. So it's like the father is telling the son, but here's the good news, because he doesn't stop there. Then he says this, these are going to be very challenging days in your life. And they're going to be very challenging pages. They're going to be very challenging chapters in your life. And there are going to be sometimes you wish you can just tear it out. Man, there are going to be sometimes, I mean, if I were to talk to my son and could be open and honest, or any of my children, and I can talk to you as your brother in Christ this morning, let me just share with you, there is going to be a point in your life where you make a very poor decision that you regret making. It's going to haunt you. You're going to be filled with shame. And every time you hear the word of it, it's going to just change your complete emotions. It's going to change everything. It's going to stir up all this stuff. And you're going to look back at that one page of the book, and you're going to let that one page define you, because that's what the enemy wants you to do. He doesn't want you to turn the page. He wants you just to be stuck on the one page. Just keep rereading the one page of your failure. It happened years ago, but just keep reading it. Keep reading it. Keep reading. Never move forward. Be stuck on page 5 when God wants to write a whole new chapter. The enemy wants you to keep reading that one page so that you can never see what God actually wants to do with you. And he's going to remind you over and over and over. Now, with that in mind, what he's telling his son, and what I would tell you, if that is true for you, you have to know that the pages in your book that you're most unhappy about are the pages that God has used to make who you are. You have to know that just maybe, the fact that you failed in this area just maybe has taught you to have more grace and compassion on other people when they fail. So what the enemy intended for harm, now the Holy Spirit is using to bring out part of the fruit of the Spirit. Maybe, just maybe, God is saying, no, look, through this greatest failure, you're going to meet me in a deeper way, and you're going to recognize just how good I actually am, that when you thought you were finished, and that when you thought like this ended your relationship with me, and this ended your career, and it ended everything that I had planned for you, you believed it, but when you gave it to me, I just turned the page, and I'm going to use it. You don't have to rip it out. I'm going to use it to continue to write the story in your life that I want to write. Right, that at the end of the day is going to give me all the glory. So leave it there. I know you're not proud of it, but leave it there. Because it's part of the story. It's part of what I'm doing. It's part, I took into account those pages in your life that you are going to fall into. So stop throwing those away and stop throwing yourself away, because I'm not done writing. What do we do with it? What do you do with the things that you can't even forgive yourself of? And the truth is, the things that Christians don't know how to forgive others of. How do we live with these pieces that we want to rip out? He says, leave it there. Leave it there, son. Leave it there, daughter. Leave it there. At this point, you can imagine his son's like, what do I do with it? Because I don't know what to do with it. And he says this in verse 5. There goes this word that is so frustrating. Trust. This Christian word that just gets thrown around so easy. This is a real cute coffee mug saying. Real cute on the bio on your social media. And it's true. And it is cute. But gosh, it's hard. So how do you trust? This word trust in the Hebrew means It's clinging on to something. And it means to rely on something. But what I really love about this word trust is that it gives the image of this, of a person who has given their entire life to somebody in a way to say, my life is completely in your hands. I'm not holding anything back. In fact, if you study the word even deeper in the Hebrew, it is speaking of a person who is completely helpless and completely dependent. The reason why so many Christians aren't completely dependent on God is because they don't recognize how completely helpless they actually are. When you recognize that you are actually completely helpless without God, then you will move into the completely dependent on God phase. But the reason why we're not completely dependent is because we're just not completely helpless. This word is saying, in order for you to trust, you have to recognize that you are completely helpless. So let me help break this down just a little bit. I want you to understand in this room, and I say this as your brother in Christ, that this is your life. Some of you are married. Some of you are single. Some of you have a career or are searching for a career. Some of you are figuring out the future. Some of you are in here married with kids. And here you have this life here. And what you have to understand is that in every single area in your life, relationships, those are always very tough to manage. We in this room, without fully trusting in God, you are helpless in your marriage. You recognize that. Listen, there can't be, I'm 50% good because I got a lot of swag and a lot of drips, 50% pretty good. And the 50% God has it. No. You don't have it at all. You get it. Like without God, you don't know how to be a good spouse. You need God. Single. You need to fully, not I'm going to depend on God just a little bit, but then I'm going to go do my own thing for plan B just in case God didn't come through. I'm going to have another plan just in case. No, that's not fully trusting God. It's fully trusting God with your life to do what God has called you to do, to be faithful while you are single, that I'm not going to go sleep around. I'm not going to go live like I'm a secular person who doesn't believe in Christ. No, what I'm going to do is I'm going to honor God with my singleness. And even when I'm single, He has all of me, completely in me. God, I am helpless being single without you, God. I will make a lot of mistakes. It's in your career. It's recognizing, like, I got to trust you fully in my career, God, because I care about provision. Let's be honest. I care about money. I care about nice things. What am I supposed to do? And God is saying, trust me with this. Trust me with it all. Fully trust me. I got you. With your relationships, with your kids. I got four kids. It is hard to really trust God with your kids. If you don't have kids yet, you don't get it. If you have kids, you get it. It is hard to trust God with your kids and knowing He loves them more than you love them. And even knowing that when God gave you those kids, He understood completely who you were getting and what He was writing, and He chose you to parent those children. He chose you. So what does it mean to fully trust? It means not to withhold anything from God and to say, in every area of my life, I'm going to fully trust you. Here's the truth. You can't even trust yourself. You realize that? We can't trust ourselves. We just can't. We cannot trust what we always feel because what we always feel isn't true. You can't even trust your own thoughts. Your thoughts will lie to you. Your emotions will lie to you. Your feelings will lie to you. Your discernment will lie to you. You can't trust yourself. So Solomon is saying this, look, you need to fully, don't hold anything back from God. Give Him everything. Everything is His. Give it all to God, your future, your present, your past. And he says, you got to trust only in the Lord. Why? Well, because none of these other things are sovereign the way God is sovereign. Now, all these things, by the way, are limited. You understand that? At some point, all these have an expiration to it. So here's what he's saying. So you need to trust the Lord, because only God has this unlimited knowledge, this unlimited power, this unlimited wisdom. He knows how to work things out. Don't do it within your own strength. And he says this, with all your heart. So this means this, with all of your intellect, with all your emotions, with all your thoughts, with all your will, trust God with all of it. Here's what this kind of looks like. He says, trust God with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Okay, here is why. The Bible says in Jeremiah that the heart is deceitful. Jeremiah says the heart is sick. Who can understand it? You can't trust your own heart. And so this is why the scripture is saying, don't trust your own heart or lean on your own understanding. Why? Because our understanding is limited. I have a very high justice meter. If I feel like somebody is doing something they shouldn't do, I turn into a snitch. I didn't used to be this way. I'm from inner city Houston, and you don't snitch. But when I became a Christian, I was like, I'm telling on everybody. I'm telling. And I'm partly joking. But there is something in me when I feel like a situation is being manipulated, or I see someone scheming, or I feel something in me just doesn't have any peace, and I really wrestle with it. And for months, something's been building up in me. It's like, I gotta say something. Because the way I'm wired is like, you got an issue with someone, you go to them, but here's the problem. You ever recognize when you have an issue with somebody, you're like, you know that you're right? See, that's part of the problem. You think you're right. No, but really, you know that you're right this time. You know that you're right. And you feel this issue and you're like, I'm going to go talk to them, and surely they're going to receive it because they know they're wrong. And you pray about it, and you even say, Matthew 18 says you got a problem with your brother, go to your brother. And then so you go to them, and then they don't receive it. And they just, it's like they're at a place where they can't receive the truth. And maybe ego is there and pride, and so they reject it and they're very defensive. Well, in this situation, I was afraid that if I went to this person and shared what I felt like I felt or saw, I really believe like they're not in a place to receive it. And it's probably gonna cause more problems than anything. And I was toiling over it. I couldn't sleep. I was bothered. I was tossing and turning. And I was like, what am I supposed to do? Because the way I'm wired is I want to go up to him and be like, hey, here's what I think. Here's what I feel. Stop it. That was my wisdom. And I was bothered. And so then I started talking to my wife. It's like, hey, I feel this way. I'm not sure what to do, because if I go to this person, it's going to explode. It's going to make things worse. And then she said this, have you prayed about it? I was like, have you prayed about it? Like, I will, but sometimes he's really slow and I need this done quick. So I thought, all right, I'm going to take this situation that I'm really frustrated with and I'm angry with, and I feel like injustice is winning, and I got to stop it myself. I got to take care of it. And I was like, I'm going to pause. I'm going to pray about it. So I started praying about it. And it was just like, God, can you please? But here's what I prayed. God, would you please change this person's heart so they can see where they're wrong? Sounds very egotistical. I promise it was all a godly thing. By the way, if you're married, do that to your spouse. You'll see miracles happen. And I was like, God, if this is true and this person really has an issue, there's nothing I can do. It'll just cause problems. I need the Holy Spirit to be the teacher in this situation, please. So I began praying. 3 weeks passed by and my wife asked me about the situation. I was like, I forgot about it. It got solved. And she was like, I was like, how did that happen? She's like, well, you prayed about it. I was like, but I didn't actually expect God to come through. But it worked. And now there's peace in that area. And here's a crazy neat thing. Listen, I know we get in situations and we want to just take matters into our own hands. But let's be honest. How many times have you taken matters into your own hands and you made a mess? Let's just be honest. You made a complete mess because you thought you were taking matters into your own hands. But I'm not saying don't do anything and be always passive, but I am saying in order to know how to handle a situation, you get that situation and you lean not on your own understanding and you bring that situation to God. Why? Because God can see the chapters and the pages that are to come that you can't see. Therefore, he will deal with you in the page that he is currently writing, and he will say, hey, behave, stop doing this. Hey, confess your sin. Hey, I got this. Hey, don't do anything because I'm going to keep writing it. Hey, here's what you do. And you let God guide your heart and you let God lead you. And what he does is you take your wisdom where you're thinking, I'm going to handle it myself. I'm bringing the smoke. And you bring it to God and you say, God, this is what I want to do, but I'm a child of God. I want to please you. I want to do the right thing, but here's what I'm feeling. What do I do? You get the wisdom of God that imparts into your heart that then controls your thoughts, your emotions, your will, your actions, because now you are submitted, fully trusting, fully submitted, fully relying on God. And when you empty yourself out, the Lord fills you with his wisdom. So here's what takes place. Now, here is the blessing of this, that when you acknowledge him in your marriage, when you acknowledge him in these relationships, when you acknowledge him in your provision, when you actually say, here is my heart, will you take it? Here's what's really going on, God. Will you take it and lead it? He will begin to change things in your heart and change things in the hearts of other people. Here is the result of trusting God with it right here. He will make straight your paths. You know what that looks like in your life? I have no clue. But it sounds pretty good. That God is saying, this is a promise, by the way. This is a couplet. It's a promise. It is coupled with if and then. If you acknowledge him. Look at this. If you acknowledge him, acknowledge that he has unlimited power. Acknowledge that he has unlimited provision. Acknowledge that he has unlimited sovereignty. Just acknowledge him with every situation. You don't always have to act on what you feel. You don't always have to act on what you feel. Acknowledge him, and the result, he will make straight your paths. He will work it all out. So, in closing, Solomon, having this conversation with his son, understanding, as I understand as a father to my son and my four children. My wife and I talk about this all the time. I have no clue who my four children are going to walk through one day. None. The temptations they will struggle with, the decisions they will make, I have no clue. No clue. So like Solomon speaking to a son, here's all he can say. Son, I don't know what's coming, but trust God with it all. And son, there will be days where you make a very poor decision. And it's going to be so hard for you to turn the page. But God's not done writing. Turn the page. And son, there will be days where life feels unfair. And you will partake in some of the greatest pain in your life. And son, there will be days where you're going to question, God, where are you? Why can I not get out of this funk? God, why can this page not be turned? How long is this chapter going to be? You ever been there? How long is this chapter going to be? I just want to get to the end. I just want to get to, can you please turn it, God? Can this be done being written? Can I look back? Can I be at a great chapter and just look back like, oh, that's what he was doing. So son, just trust him. So this morning, the truth remains for us. You may have stuff in your life that you wish you can tear out. But just trust him. Leave it there and trust him. Listen, no doubt we don't know how any of our lives in the next chapter is going to be written. But you can trust the one who's writing it. you can trust the one who's writing it. So here's my challenge for you. Whatever season you are in that's taking all of it out of you, I'm not telling you this is going to be easy, but I am telling you that you can trust him with every word, every page. He will not let it go to waste. What the enemy intends for harm, our God will use for good, and he is the only one that can do it. But here's what you have to do. You have to allow him to write the story. You have to give him everything. This word trust means to be helpless and fully surrendered. So here is your life. Here is everything in it from the start to the finish. You need to say, here it is, God, write it all and take everything that I wrote and please use it for your good. Please use it for your glory. Will you use me, God? I don't want to be done. I don't want to be hopeless. I don't want to be disappointed. I don't want to be discouraged. I don't want to be broken. So God, would you be the greatest author? Would you write a story that only you can write, Father, so that when people look at my life, they will know that you are the author of something that was broken and you made beauty out of brokenness. And he can do it. But you got to be fully helpless. Fully helpless. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and bow your head. And for the Christians in the room, when you just begin, just you and God, just I know we probably want to sneak out, but I don't want you to miss this with God. This word trust is to be fully helpless before him. So Christian, when you just you and God admit, this is just confession between you and God, admit, I am helpless without you. You have probably never said that, but you have to admit it. You have to admit it to yourself that you need him. Oh, God, help us in our marriage. We need you. We need you, Father. We need you in our daily lives, Father. We need you in our relationships. We can't do it. We will mess it up, and we have. We need you, Father. And I'm sure there are some of you in this room where you have never, ever fully surrendered this book to God, the book of life. Here, write it, write it, write it. I am a sinner in need of a Savior. Write it. And if that is you this morning, well, you've never surrendered and the pen has been in your hand and you're recognizing today that you have been the only author in your life and it's not going well, here's what I want to tell you, that God knew that you would take the pen and try to author your own life. He knew you would make mistakes. So before you made them, he sent his son to die on the cross to cover all of our sins, your sin, my sin. So that one day when you acknowledge him as Lord and Savior, you would then pass the pen over to him and say, God, make beauty out of ashes. Forgive me. So if that is you this morning, you're ready to hand over the pen and say, would you make some beauty out of my brokenness? Forgive me of my sins. Just right where you are, all eyes closed and heads bowed. You just raise your hand all across this room. If you have never surrendered your life to Jesus and say, I'm all in, I'm helpless without you. Praise God, there are hands going up. Praise God, I'm proud of y'all. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Praise God, proud of y'all. Here's all this means for everyone who raised your hand. This just means that you acknowledge you're a sinner in need of a Savior and you receive his forgiveness and he forever takes you as his own. And you will be tempted to take the pen back and keep writing, and it's gonna be a fight. You just gotta keep giving it back to him every day. Keep giving it back to him. He loves you. He loves you. Every person in here, whoever's walking through anything, he loves you. Those that are angry with him, he loves you. Those that are questioning whether he's real, he loves you. So Father, in this room, would you just ignite your love in the hearts of your people? Would you help us to trust you in the moments we don't trust or we can't trust? Would you help us to give you the pages of our life that we're not proud of? We love you, Lord. Thank you for being such a good God to us and such a good Father. Thank you for standing with us even when we don't stand for you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.